Praise God. We have a phenomenon in the church today. Right over here in the corner is a ball of hundreds and hundreds of ants that are escaping the water. I saw it today and I thought, what is that? And I went over and got real close, and it's literally hundreds of ants that have escaped the water on the outside and for some reason just balled up right there. And I thought about going and getting the vacuum and vacuum up, and then I thought, well, they might just go everywhere. I don't know how to get rid of them. And then I thought, well, you know what? I'm pretty impressed with the teamwork that is taking place right there. I mean, there is some teamwork going on and people helping each other right over there. Everybody's hanging on to everybody and they're all surviving. I just wonder what the guys on the bottom that are hanging on that wall are doing. I mean, there's a huge bunch. Praise God. Val, you can go take care of that anytime you want to. She's already let me know that she don't want to get close to that. I don't know what to do with them. Don't want to scatter them. I don't know. Praise God. Carry on, boys. I'm kind of impressed by ants anyway, so it's kind of impressive to me, the power and the strength and the teamwork that they possess. Thank God. Tonight, we're going to be going down to Sanctuary of Hope because Benaiah and Natalie, our oldest son, is being ordained in the ministry tonight at Sanctuary of Hope. And so, thank God for that. Amen. So we're going to be celebrating that. At 5 o'clock, they're having a dinner. So they're going to start eating at 5. And Sam said, you don't need to bring anything. There'll be plenty of food, which, I don't know. I hope. But then the service starts at 6 o'clock. And so the dinner's at 5, service at 6 o'clock. And I have no idea when they're going to be doing the ordination. I get to take part in it. Praise God, because he's my son. So we're going to be, that's going to be a milestone in our family. We're going to be talking today about something that just kind of jumped out at me in Colossians. And be talking about the image of God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And we're probably going to be spending a couple of weeks on some principles in this verse. But what I want to look at today is it says that he is, talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. Amen. He is the image of the invisible God. Now we're gonna kind of look into that a little bit further, but right now I want y'all to say something with me, all right? I want you to say, I am strong in my spirit. I am strong emotionally. I am strong mentally. And I am strong physically. In Jesus' name. Praise God. That's a declaration that you can do every day. When you head out, when you get up, and I found it to be very important. This week, I just got over that flu. You remember, about a week and a half, I was down with that silly sickness, whatever it was. And finally, just forced myself to go to work and started shaking it off. And this week, Monday afternoon, I got sick all over again. Started running the fever, the chills, and the sinus pressure, all that kind of stuff started coming back. And just made me mad. Do y'all get mad when you get sick like me? I mean, it literally just makes me mad. And I just said, not this time. You know, you just took about a week and a half from me. And so this time, you know, I'm just not going to put up with it. And so I started declaring that. And then just, I'd get up in the morning and put my clothes on, go to work. And all the way to work, declaring that my body is free from sickness and disease and infirmity. You cannot control me, you cannot have me, and you cannot dominate my life today. And thank God, just a couple of days was able to shake that stuff off. So we have to declare over ourselves who we are in Christ and what He has and what He's given us. And so when we understand that, it's understanding the image. It's understanding the imprint, the representative, the representation of God. In the original, we were originally made in the image of God. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." See, Sister Val, you got power and authority over all creepy things. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. When the Bible's talking about God creating us in the image of God, He said, let us, which the only reference we have to the us is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we understand that there was different operations in the Old Testament than it was in the New Testament. And it declares in Colossians, it says that He made all things, that all things were created through Him and for Him. And then John chapter 1 says that He created all things and everything that is made. And so we understand that Jesus, before He was Jesus, He was one of the triune Godhead, that He was the action to the Word. He was the one that caused the Word of God to be fulfilled. He was the manifestation of the Word. So it's only fitting that when God sent His only Son, that He sent the representation, He sent the manifestation of the Word. He sent the doer of the Word. He sent the impact of what was spoken. When you say something, your words have impact. You can't speak without having impact. I know some of you moms think that you can because your children don't listen to you. But when you speak, your words have impact. Matter of fact, everything you say, everything that comes out of your mouth, I was reading an article on the brain, and everything that comes out of your mouth, everything that you speak actually travels through your entire nervous system. I want you to think about that. The words you say actually affects your entire nervous system throughout your whole body and your brain. And so when words are spoken, there's an impact. And it's kind of like a boss. When he walks in, everybody gets busy. There's an impact. And that's the way it is when words are spoken. When God said, Jesus, in His position in creation, was the action that took place when God spoke. And so when it says that all things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and then we're going to get into this later on, but it says in this first verse we read that all things in Him, all things consist. We're going to talk about that later, but right now I want us to look at the fact that the image of God, we were created in the image and the likeness of God. Now, he said that he created Adam in his image. Then it says that in his image created he them. I just want to, you know, people get weirded out when you talk about this stuff. Matter of fact, a guy the other day, for whatever reason, talking about this flood, people blame God for everything. He said, I was working down at the lake, and we was having to try to take care of some stuff. And that water can come up so fast on that lake. It is a huge lake. And you can only imagine how much water is actually dumping in that thing for that thing to rise so fast. There was one time that it was flooding like that, and I was removing the gate down there that you have to punch a code in and the gate comes up. And I was removing the pedestal that has all the electronics in it and everything, and I was taking that out so that it wouldn't be underwater. And when I first started, the water was 15 feet from where I was at. By the time I got all that unhooked and unbolted and was ready to put it in the truck, my feet was in water. That's how fast that water can come up. And we were down there working, and the water was rising. And while I was working, I was watching the water creeping up over the parking lot. And this guy started saying something about the flood. And he said, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? The fact that people know I'm a pastor, they feel like they need to say something spiritual when they're around me. And so he was saying something spiritual. And I just kind of looked at him and closed my mouth because I wanted to give him a theological dissertation over how the devil is the Satan is the prince and power of the air, and that we need to blame him and not God and all this kind of stuff. But I just closed my mouth, and he said, well, I don't know, around my house, God is a she. And I just looked at him. Okay, we're getting deeper all the time. You know? I wasn't sure if he was saying that they believe that God is a female or God is, or that he was calling his wife God. I don't know. I don't know what he was saying. I just left it at that. You know, sometimes it's best just keep your mouth shut, just leave it, let everything just kind of lay out there. But people get weirded out about that. Did you know that when God created the male and the female, there is not a lesser? Because each side is the side of God. Each person is a reflection of God. Everything that we are came forth from God. So the male side came forth from God. The female side came forth from God. God is all things. He is all consistent. Everything consistent in Him. He is everything. Okay? And when you start talking about that, people start getting weirded out. You know, you mean God's a woman? God's a man? God, you don't understand. God is everything. We are pieces of the reflection. Can everybody get a hold of that? We are pieces of the reflection. So God, we reflect God. That's why I said here a while back, you know, some of you might not have been here, but one of the reasons that God is so against homosexuality is because it destroys the image of God. Man and male and female is the image of God, the perfect image of God. And when you change that, you destroy the image of God. Male and female, we were made in the likeness and the image of God. He created he them. And so we are created in image of God. Each one is part. We are direct opposites. Amen. Everybody understand that? Is anybody confused about the fact that man and woman are opposite? Anybody? Okay. I'm glad. We are opposite in just about everything. There are different degrees. Some females are a little more masculine. Some males are a little more feminine. But their DNA is still female and male. It doesn't matter. Their DNA is still male and female. Bruce Jenner can call himself Caitlyn all he wants to, but till the day he dies, his DNA will be male. He will be a man. I don't know about the women in America. If I was a female and they would have made Bruce Jenner Woman of the Year, I think we should have revolted. I think females all over this country should have revolted. I mean, they declared a cross-dressing man woman of the year. What was it, People Magazine or something like that? That should have been a major revolt. Women should have rose up and said, you have to have at least one menstrual cramp and survive it before you can claim to be a woman. I mean, you should have got mad about it. I mean, he's trying to be a woman, and he's never even felt what it's like to be a woman. He is a man. You can self-identify as a rock if you want to, but you can't demand everybody else get into your delusion. And people are self-identifying as animals now, and we're supposed to recognize them as animals. You know, pet them as a dog. You know, I'm a dog. You're delusional. Have a DNA test. You will find out what you are. We can set this thing straight in just a short amount of time. But there's this delusional thing going on today that people are trying to imagine themselves as something different than what they are. The reason is because they don't understand the image. They don't understand the fact that they were created in the image of God. And people today have a hard time accepting themselves because we're so confused. Amen. You know, women are wanting to be men and men are wanting to be women and all that kind of stuff. It's ridiculous. Betty said the other day, I made a statement, and Betty started just cracking up, just laughing. And I said, what are you doing? She said, honey, I feel so sorry for you. I said, why? She said, you have such a hard time just explaining how you feel. I just blurted something out. So I think she was saying that I was very strongly opinionated or something. But God created, we were created in the image of God. Amen. So I can go around, you know, claiming that I was born in Africa, but it doesn't make it so. You know, people can say all the time that they didn't come from God. It doesn't make it so. We were created by God. Okay, I'm chasing so many rabbits. Somebody shoot that dude. I'm gonna be chasing him all day. But God said, male and female created He them. Now the word image here in the Hebrew, in Genesis, the word image here literally means resemblance or representative. Resemblance or representative. In the image of God in Genesis means that we were created as a resemblance or representative. In other words, we are like a shadow of the original. We have the form of God. So God literally has form, okay? He has the form. And so we were created in the image, a resemblance and a representative of God. And the word likeness, they use the word likeness, the Hebrew of that is resemblance, but it means the likeness is to be of like shape or similitude. And so man was created in the similitude of God. We are like a reflection of God. Physically, we are like a reflection. Before the fall, we had some similitudes of the essence of God. But God said that if you eat of the fruit, you will die and you'll gain the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. Have you ever noticed that evil is not what caused man to fall? It was good. It wasn't evil. Eve saw that the fruit was good for food and pleasant to the eye. It wasn't evil that she was attracted to. She saw that it was good. There's a lot of things that you can say, well, I think that's good. That doesn't mean it's right. Okay? A lot of times it's not evil that gets us to fall. It's chasing after things that are good but are not of God. Okay? So, it says that we are in His shape or similitude. But the language changes between the Old Testament description of man and the New Testament declaration of Jesus. Jesus, in the verse we read in Colossians, says Jesus is the image of the invisible God. It means we are the resemblance and a similitude of God. But the declaration of Paul brings something totally different and clarifies a little more about Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, it says, but even our gospel, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Next time you're praying for people that aren't living right, realize that their minds are blinded. You got to command the blindness to go. You got to break the power of blindness over them. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, it looks like the same words being used. In Genesis, we were created in the image of God. But here it says that Jesus is the image of God. But it goes a little further in explaining that there's more to it than that. The word image here means essentially and absolutely the perfect expression and representation of Father God. Now in Genesis, we were the representation, we were the shadow, we were the shape, we were the similitude of God. But it goes further in the New Testament talking about Jesus and says that it is essentially, Jesus was essentially and absolutely the perfect expression and representation of Father God. In Colossians 1:15, it gives the additional thought and suggests by the word invisible that Christ is the visible representation and manifestation of God to created beings. Now, we were made in the image and likeness of God, but when Paul begins to talk about Jesus, he begins to talk about the exact image, the exact representation, not just a shadow of the original, but a literally the word means to the engraver or to engrave an image and then make an exact duplicate. Have you ever taken a coin or something and pressed it into Play-Doh or whatever you got at hand, clay or whatever you got at hand? You press it into that, and when you remove it, that clay literally has the exact reflection or the exact imprint of the original thing. The difference is that you can take that Play-Doh and you can form it to resemble. Or you can take the original and press it into the clay and have an exact duplicate of God. That's the difference that's being drawn here. We were made in the image of God. In other words, we were created to resemble God. But when it talks about Jesus, it's talking about literally an imprint of God in a man. Literally the imprint of God. Paul is saying that Jesus was absolutely and essentially the imprint of God in a human body. That's pretty powerful. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Here again, talking about He was the action of the Word. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It's going to be interesting when we get into the consistency of God. How all things consist in God. He creates all things. He upholds all things. But here it's talking about the fact that Jesus was the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In Amplified, it says he is the sole expression of the glory of God. The sole expression of the glory of God. The light being the outrain or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had by offering himself accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Now, here it says that Hebrews says that he is the express image or the sole expression of God. The sole expression of the glory of God. Praise God. The sole expression. Now, we were made in his image. When Jesus was born of a virgin, his body was formed just like ours. He looked just like us. And he had two eyes, two ears. You know, he wasn't deformed. He didn't have, like in Revelations, he didn't have 12 eyes and 12 wings and, you know, six wings, whatever it is. And the beast and crying holy, and you read some of that stuff, you know, give you nightmares as a child. But when we think about something that's heavenly, we think about something that's glorious, we think about that. But the actual brightness of his glory, the very express image of God, was represented in a human body. A body just like ours. Amen. Now, I don't know how much of Jesus was Mary and how much of Jesus was Father God. God had the opportunity to mess with that DNA all he wanted to. I mean, I don't know how much of the 23 chromosomes of Mary you got in there, how much 23 chromosomes of God. I don't know how all that happened. I know Jesus was not completely normal. Okay? I mean, even in history books, it talks about Jesus as a child being a little different. When God Almighty, the Creator of all things, is your Father, the world's going to look a little different to you. You know, you're going to see things just a little bit different. Matter of fact, in the Quran, I probably told you this before, there's more about Jesus in the Quran, the Muslim holy book, than there is about Muhammad. Actually, part of the Quran is, one layer of the Quran is the teachings of Muhammad. The other layer of the Quran is a history book. And it has a lot of stories about Jesus. And has stories about him performing miracles. Has stories about him doing all kinds of great things. One of the stories that really impressed me was that when Jesus was a little boy, all the children in the village followed him around because Jesus always knew where the best meals were being prepared. What houses was fixing the best food? And they would show up there. It's kind of like when my boys are growing up. Betty's family, you know, takes up quite a bit of mileage back through here. And we called it the Ridge. And my boys, when they were growing up, we called it roaming the ridge. And they would take off, and they would, when it was supper time, they would make their way around to all the houses of the relatives and see what kind of food was being prepared. And then they would show up there when it's time to eat. They would go out and pick out the best house. Matter of fact, Dee and Jack's house was they had some restaurant name for it or something. Sal and Judy's. That was Dee and Jack's house. They called it Sal and Judy's. And they would show up there and eat. And so they would roam the region. Well, that's kind of what this story in the Quran tells about Jesus, that somehow he always had insight into things, even as a young child. At 12 years old, he was able to confuse and amaze the scribes and the lawyers and the Pharisees. He had an intelligence that he could literally teach those that have been studying all their life. So that's a little different, isn't it? Amen. What do they call them today? Prodigies? You know, child prodigies? Yeah, I saw a little 5-year-old guy the other day playing the piano, singing one of Adele's songs. 5 years old, playing the piano, singing Adele, you know, something about hello or something. And this little guy, his hands wasn't big enough to reach the keys, and he would have to work, but he played that dude. I mean, a grand piano, and he's sitting there playing this song, 5 years old. That's a prodigy. Well, Jesus was a prodigy in a lot of ways. And when he was 12 years old, that prodigy started coming out, and Mary got a hold of him and took him home because he said, "What have I to do with you?" You know, in other words, can you imagine your 12-year-old child? You've been looking for him for 2 or 3 days. And they've been lost, and you find them and say, "What in the world do you mean doing this? You know how you moms are, scaring me like this. What?" And Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, what have I got to do with you? You know, I don't care if God was his father, Mary was still his mama." And I'm kind of thinking that maybe he went home to the village by the ear. Because from 12 years old to 30 years old, you didn't hear nothing else out of Jesus. Somehow Mary impressed him to the point that he minded his manners until he was 30 years old. And then when he was 30 years old, Mary come to Jesus at a wedding and said, "They're out of wine." And again, Jesus said, "Well, what's that to me? What have I got to do with you, woman?" Can you imagine raising God's son? I mean, Mary had a challenge on her hands. And I know a lot of people wouldn't put it like it. I'm kind of a realist. I look at things in real. You know, like Silent Night, it was not a silent night. That boy cried. I guarantee you. You know, he was a normal baby. And so I see things in real terms. Jesus came to walk like us and to pay the price that we paid, that we would have had to pay. So, but Mary knew Jesus and knew that there was something different about Jesus. She knew the capacity that he had. She knew that there was some power that hadn't been released yet. And so when Mary told Jesus, "They're out of wine," Jesus kind of put her off, you know, "That ain't my problem. Leave me alone. It ain't my problem." And Mary turned around to the servant and said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." She knew what was lurking just beneath the surface. And he was 30 years old, so it was time. And so when Mary said that, he said, "Okay, go get the water pots over there. Fill them up with water and go and serve it to the head big dogs," whatever they called them, the head people of the wedding. And so they did that, and they said, "Why have you saved the best wine for last?" See, Mary knew what was there because she'd been raising him. She'd been watching him. I wonder how many times Mary had to get him to humble himself. I mean, I realize we're talking about the Son of God. We're also talking about a human being that had to learn, had to be discipled, had to study the Word. Now, granted, it didn't take him near as long to learn it as it did me. Because he probably had a photographic memory. I mean, just be able to just memorize things and requote it. He knew more stuff than we can ever imagine in his mind. I wonder, you know, all the stuff that he heard. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's a statement that he made. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And another statement he made is, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. Amen. That's why when you get around people with a strong prophetic gift, and sometimes you think they act a little funny, don't pay any attention to them. Sometimes they're not even there. You know? They're hearing things that they're hearing things from a day they're not even living in yet, and they gotta somehow process all that and figure out what to do with all that. You gotta give them a break, okay? They're weird. But you gotta kind of give them a break, you know, because sometimes they're hearing stuff that they don't know what to do with. And it's captivating their mind, it's captivating them. So when Jesus was walking this earth, he was perceiving things, he was processing things that we couldn't even imagine processing. And he said, whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I do. So in other words, there was a visual representation of God taking place in his mind, and God was showing him the next move to make and what he wanted him to do. And he knew how to do it because he was the imprint. He was more than a representative, he was the exact essence of God, the imprint of God, okay? I hope I'm not losing here. This is really important. And so he said, the express image, the sole expression of God. Now, this is the last thought I want to use here. It says, these verses take it a step further. This phrase expresses the fact that the Son is both personally distinct from and yet literally equal to. Remember the Pharisees getting all upset because Jesus declared that he was the Son of God, and they got upset because they said that makes you equal to God. And the fact is, he actually was. He was the express image. Now, a lot of us are representations of our family. Remember we talked about this here all back, that half of you is the history of your mom's side of the family, half of you is the history of your dad's side of the family, and then there's a God part in there somewhere that part's never existed before, and neither family will take credit for it because they don't know where that come from. And that's the God part. That's the creative part of God that in every person makes something new, makes a new part. And so when we look at this and realize that God, Jesus, was the Son of God, and yet it says that even though we take up many different aspects of our families, I mean, your ears come from one person in your history, your nose comes from another person in your history, your fingers, your toenails, every part of you is like some other person in your family, in your history, your parental history. But here it's talking about Jesus, and it says that he is not just a representative, he is not just a reflection of God, he doesn't just have some characteristics like God, but he is the exact imprint of God. Now, in order to be the exact imprint of God, it means that there is no variance between him and God. Now, that's really powerful. That's hard to comprehend, that the very imprint of God was in a human body. Jesus was not just a human being. He had a human body. But here the Bible is telling us that he was literally the exact imprint of God is. Let's go a little further. It says, him of whose essence he is the adequate imprint. The Son of God is not merely his image. He is the image or impress. Now listen to this. He is the image or impress of his substance or essence. Literally, the substance of God is what Jesus presented. The essence of God. It says he is literally the exact imprint or the exact essence, substance of God. Jesus came to show us who the Father was. He came to show us the true image of God, because man had always interpreted God through their filter. In the Old Testament, I read a lot of things that are said about God, and in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, that is coming through the filter of human beings. When it comes to, how many of y'all know that you have a filter? In talking, some of y'all don't, but in listening, everybody has a filter, okay? We got to have a filter. Have you ever been around somebody that has no filter whatsoever? The Filipino people, we was just over in the Philippines, they have no filter. They say exactly what they're thinking. And it doesn't, you know, they're not trying to hurt your feelings, but they just say it the way they see it. And you know, they just take things very literal, and they say things very literal. And their use of the English language is very literal. And, you know, with Damon, we called him Damon in the Philippines. His name is Damon. Because when they would say Damon, they would get a little, because what they was hearing was demon. They couldn't separate the two. Matter of fact, we had just got through speaking at one place, and some of the pastor's wives came to me. Why they came to me, I don't know, but they came to me, and they said, Betty Jane, that's what we called Betty, because we had two Bettys. That's Betty Jane, this is Betty. And they said, Betty Jane's husband. I said, yes. What is his name? I said, Damon, not demon. I knew exactly what they was thinking. And of course, they got embarrassed, started laughing. And I said, it's Damon. Call him Damon. And so they're very literal. And so when we first got there, the first Sunday we preached, they set a little table there after church. They fed us a dinner. And right there in the church, they just put this little board down and stuff, and we sit around that, and they brought food out, and we started eating. And they brought pop out there, you know, sodas in bottles. And there was like 24 of them over here or something like that. How many? I don't know how. I remember how many there was. There was a bunch of pop bottles over here. And we said, hey, we need to pass these out. And the pastor's wife that was putting on the dinner said, no, she could speak enough English. She said, no, those are for you. And somebody said, well, there's too many. And they said, oh, we saw you were bulky, so we gave you more. So from then on, we were known as the bulky people. And one police chief shook me up. I couldn't even teach after this. Right before time for cheat, he was talking to us and talking, welcoming us and everything. And his police chief, and all of a sudden he looked at me and he said, we can tell that you are a very good-looking man. And then he said, teach. So I turn around and I'm going, because I'm still thinking, what are you talking about? What was that all about? Very literal. They have no filter. There was all kinds of things like that they said, but they're not trying to insult. They're just simply stating what they see in the best English that they know how to state it in. There's a whole lot of other things I could tell you, but we don't need to go there. It says that He is the essence. So many of us have a filter when we hear stuff. When you hear things, when you see things, everything passes through your filter. That filter is the mindset and understanding that you're in at that time. Okay? If you're irritated and feeling feeling insignificant or bad about yourself, whatever, when people say something, it goes through that filter and almost everything gets turned into an insult. Okay? Matter of fact, you husbands know this better than anybody. If you look at your wife one day and say, "Well, you look really good today," if they are in that negative filter, their mind's going to immediately go to, "So I didn't yesterday. What was wrong with me yesterday?" If they're got the good filter going on, they'll say, "Thank you. Thank you for noticing." And that's the way we are. Every one of us have a filter. And that filter, the way we see things, you can ask several different people about a situation. That's why we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because we got several different people looking at things from a different angle and seeing things from a different angle, and everybody sees something different. So I believe they gave us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to give us a four-square view of Jesus. So when we hear things and when we see things, it goes through the filter of how we are perceiving life at that time. In the Old Testament, many times we read things and we see they describe God, or they give God credit for things that sometimes I look at it and say, that doesn't match the image of God in the New Testament. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And it doesn't match. And so I begin to... I would get kicked out of theological seminary for this, but I look at it and I think, you know, I'm not going to take everything completely literal about some of the perception they had, because I realized that it was man perceiving. Okay? And so I can look at that and say, you know, I'm not real sure about that, whether that was God or the devil, or if it's just man. You know, if man did that. You know, several things where they wanted quail and they ate until it come out their nose. And then it says God sent a great plague among them. I'm not sure if God sent that plague or if they just got sick because they gorged themselves on quail and didn't take time to cook it right. You know, I don't know. But when you eat and eat and eat the same thing so fast that it ends up coming out your nose, how many knows that you have gorged yourself and you're going to have consequences from that? Okay? So I don't know. But one thing I do know is when I read in the New Testament and I look at Jesus and I read about Jesus, Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So I go back to the New Testament and I read about Jesus and I get my perception of who God is through Jesus, because he was the exact imprint, the exact essence of God. We are the resemblance of God. Jesus was the perfect imprint of God. Hallelujah. So when you look at Jesus, when you want to know God, when you want to really know what God is like, read about Jesus. Read about what he did. Read about him blessing the little children when the disciples are trying to get them back away from him. Read about him taking time to sit at the well and talk to a woman of ill repute when it was not even legal at that time for a woman to talk to a man like that, especially one that wasn't even an Israelite. And yet Jesus sent the disciples away because he knew that their legalistic radars would go off, so that he could talk to this woman at the well and confront her and help her to find salvation and find a way out of the mess her life had gotten in. Jesus, that's God. That's God sitting at that well caring about somebody that nobody else cared for. That's God. And so my perception of God comes through that. My perception of God comes through him sitting in the house and healing people all day long into the evening. Every diseased person, every demonic tormented person, that's God. That's my vision of God the Father, that he took time to sit there and minister to everybody that came. And then I look at the woman that come in, that had the woman that's terribly vexed with a demon spirit. Her daughter was terribly vexed, and she come in and asked Jesus, and Jesus was trying to, he was bound by the law, and yet look, he was the imprint of God. He was the essence of God. And he was trying to stick to the law because he hadn't broke that power yet. He hadn't broke the curse of the law yet. And so he said, it's not meet for me to give the children's bread to dogs. And she said, I can use the crumbs. Just give me the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the imprint of God, the essence of God, the very presence of God couldn't hold back any longer and said, your faith has got you what you wanted. And immediately the woman's daughter was healed and delivered from those demon spirits. That's my view of God the Father. That he couldn't stand to sit there with somebody suffering, even though he was bound by the laws he wrote. But he went ahead and gave her the miracle anyway. That's my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And it's my Heavenly Father that stood in the temple and told the Pharisees they were vipers and hypocrites and whitewashed tombs. Why? Because they would not allow the people to receive what he was trying to give them. It wasn't because they were opposing him. It was because they were restraining from the people the very presence of God. They were hypocrites. I can get into a whole bunch of that later. The Ark of the Covenant was not even in the Holy of Holies at that time, and yet they played like it was. They continued to go through the ceremonies, and Jesus knew this, and he would stand there and say, you hypocrites, you vipers. That's my Heavenly Father. Because he hates anything that gets between him and hurting humanity. Amen. Stand with me today. Praise God. I can't hardly quit. I'm just now getting to the good part. Praise God. I told Val at a certain time every Sunday morning, come up and start playing, and I'll know that it's my time. This is my idea, okay? And if I'm not careful, she's going to play 5 songs before I quit. Oh, but he is the essence. Jesus was the very imprint. Oh, we're going to get into some really good stuff, what God's provided for us. But just knowing that when I read about Jesus, when I see what he did, when I see what he was like, I'm literally looking at the very essence and substance and imprint of my Heavenly Father. Not just somebody trying to act like it, but the original. Hallelujah.